Today, we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Should there be signs in men's bathrooms asking, are you a sexual predator? This is the article by Sarah Hart in the Irish Examiner recently. I thought it was fascinating. And she makes the point that we must educate boys and men on how to interact in a healthy way with girls and women and be able to spot harmful attitudes. And she goes on to write about the fact that, you know, we're often telling women to mind their drinks on a night out and change their behaviour. So why aren't we doing it with men instead? Madeleine McAleer is from Haven Horizons. They focus on the prevention of domestic abuse and coercive control. And Madeleine is with us on the show today. Would something like this be beneficial, Madeleine, in your view, signs in bathrooms?
Well, yes, I think it would be. I think there should be signs in men's toilets. But and everywhere else, but only as a part of a bigger awareness campaign. And I think Sarah alluded to that, and you alluded to it, talking about attitudes, because I think we really need to ask ourselves, like, there's two fundamental questions that need to be answered. Why is this happening? And it is getting worse. And where is it leading us to as a society? And once we can answer those two questions, then we can say, what do we need to do? And at what levels do we need to be working at to ensure that we can have zero tolerance of this type of behaviour? And so what is it about our culture that leads you, very young boys and men, to think that it's acceptable to buy, to go out and actively buy, like, prohibitive drugs? In some cases, we hear that they're horse tranquilizers. And this is to spike the drinks of young girls and women, and to put, even we're getting reports now, lots more reports of women in their homes, their food being drugged, in order to harm them, to know that they are doing this so that they can sexually assault or rape them while they're semi-conscious or unconscious. I mean, what is the attitude? What is the entitlement that leads to this behaviour? What are we doing in our culture? And, of course, the answers are all there in the research now, which says it's this nexus of the technology, misogynistic influencers and violent pornography that's been fed into the feeds of younger and younger children by these algorithms, and that they're not being held accountable. And so we are finding, and research last week from Australia showed that perpetrators are as young as 12, and British research showed that boys as young as 9 and girls as young as 9 are being shown this violent pornography. And where does it lead to? Well, in court in France at the moment, Gisèle Pellico, the woman whose husband drugged her for 10 years and invited up to 80 random men into sexually assaulting.
And so your idea in all of this, Madeleine, then, is that, and we'll talk maybe less about the posters in the bathroom, or we'll chat about those in a moment, but it is the idea that it's the idea, I suppose, that we constantly send the message out to women. It's kind of a victim-blaming message, isn't it? It's the mentality you need to mind your drink.
And
see that a lot of those posters, you do frequently see them actually in bathrooms, you know, and keep your drink covered and be aware. And maybe there's no harm in that, you know, as a message collectively for everybody. But I suppose that probably is the message that's propagated all the time.
And I think you're exactly right. It's victim-blaming, because to write that poster, to print it and to put it up, that means you know, as the owner of the premises, that this is happening. You know that there are people on your premises doing this. I mean, you have staff that are seeing it, your CCTV, and you print the poster and you put it into the bathroom of women and young girls are going to be, and you put the responsibility back onto the victim. And this is what happens all the time in society. Yeah.
Sean Cook is with us, Madeleine. Sean Cook mm-hmm. is the Chief Executive Officer of the Men's Development Network. Sean, do you agree with this? Is it the kind of message we need to change?
Good afternoon, Andrea. Listen, I think in terms of the article, it's very clear that we certainly think that men need to take a more active role in terms of addressing the issues of gender-based violence. And I think that's what the article says. And I think, you know, what Madeleine is saying, we fully concur in terms of what is actually happening around that, and that men do need to take really strong and more active parts in terms of addressing gender-based violence overall. Okay, my question sometimes is in relation to the message. You know, the pathology in terms of kind of gender-based violence doesn't indicate that anybody would walk into a toilet and see a sign and saying, "Are you a perpetrator?" would then get a light bulb moment here. I don't think that would necessarily happen here. You know, so, but what we would certainly be feeling that in terms of encouraging men. And the silent majority of men, like, you know, to kind of take a more active role and a leadership role and being allies to women in relation to gender-based violence, that this is the way to do that. And the most appropriate ways of doing that, and the evidence is there around the strengths-based approach to engaging men and boys, to getting them to reflect on their attitudes, their social conditioning, and to become to make decisions that are transformative.
It's less about how we deliver that communication, but I suppose the essence of the article is about the message that we're sending, and maybe that, you know, if you take a 14 or 15 or 16 year old teenager in school today, that teenager knows the language. You know, if their friend says something, you know, after school or over the weekend, that kind of alarmist attitude or language to look out for. Are we doing enough? And sorry, I say that for men and women, by the way. But, you know, I wonder, is there enough education around that?
I personally don't think there is. And I think sometimes the way in which it's entered into the invitation into the conversation comes from a very deficit perspective. And young men and boys sometimes not sure about how to enter into that conversation. Like, you know, how do you go and have a conversation with your mother or your sister around their concerns, around these type of things? These are the conversations that should be had, and we should be trying to encourage young boys and young men to ask these questions of the people that they know, rather than what we're standing in the middle of a bar. Yeah,
funny you mention that. Dr. Michelle Walsh is with us, Sean. Michelle's the CEO of Move Ireland, and they're an organisation that facilitate men in a weekly group process. They involve, I suppose, them, am I right in saying this, Michelle, taking responsibility for their violence and changing their attitude and behaviour? So do you think we need an approach like this?
No, absolutely. I totally concur with what Sean's saying. And both Sean and I would run the same programme. I mean, I think that we do need a lot more in terms of awareness raising, and how we enter into that conversation is very, very important. I've never seen anybody change or be incited to change by shame-based tactics. And, you know, there's lots of things that we can do, but there's a hell of a lot more that we need to do. In terms of, like, if we look at our programs, like, we have 40% of the people that are coming onto our programs are self-referring onto the program. So they're, men are actively looking for help. But there's ways that you can do that. There's gentle questioning. Yeah, you can do a poster campaign, but do you think your child or partner has sometimes felt afraid of you, and a series of questions to maybe make somebody think? You know, that's certainly something we could do. But also, we have a huge problem in terms of, you know, if you look at, and I'm coming from a victim-centred background, if you look at what we've done over the years for survivors, and every single piece of it is really, really warranted and needed. But if you're a perpetrator in this country, or you have behaviour that you feel might be questionable, where do you go for supports? And I think, I don't necessarily think that the situation is getting worse. I think that we're becoming more open to talking and discussing sexual violence, and there's more and more people coming forward, and that's brilliant. But we also need the...
They lost Michelle. We'll try and reconnect with Michelle. A listener says, do we really need signs to tell a man that they're a sexual predator? Boys need more education on what is a real sexual interaction or relationship. This texter, though, says putting signs in men's bathrooms asking, are you a predator, is an idiotic idea. Why not put up a sign asking, are you a thief or a fraudster? Such people don't care. Asking the rest of us that don't do these things is totally missing the point. Lock up those people. Stop blaming all men. Most men protect women. Some don't. The signs will never change that. Do you agree with that, Nolene Blackwell?
I agree with so much of what everybody is saying right along the way now, but that particular last point is very important. I do think we are coming from a place, actually, you know, I'm even just thinking every single, I suppose, Christmas that it happens every single time that your media, every other media, will ask for advice on how do women stay safe when they're out socialising at night. And it is really only in the last number of years that women have understood that the risks that they took by literally going outside their door were not acceptable risks. That there was something out there that was wrong in our society that did not respect principally women. It's not only women, but principally women. And that allowed not only men, but principally men and boys to have a sense of entitlement that they did, that they could disrespect women and girls. And that is changing. So like Michelle was saying there before she dropped off, like she was saying, there is that kind of sense now that people are beginning to understand more that it's not acceptable behaviour. And particularly women are beginning to understand that. So that leads then to what do you need to do? And all of the speakers before, Madeline is right about the influence of the digital age. Sean is right about engaging men in the perfect way, as was Michelle. I do think, though, that it is very, very little we're doing right now. And there are some signs I would put on bathroom doors. I would put them on all sorts of doors that anyone is coming through. But particularly where men are, say, engaged in behaviour that was totally acceptable. They may have learned it from their role models as they were growing up. Disrespectful behaviour, a sense of entitlement that they did not have to respect women equally. And that's where I think one of the other things, and it was alluded to, was maybe a contribution I can make here, is I think one of the things we really have to ask men and boys to do is call out bad behaviour in their own group.
Well, maybe that would be a better sign than the sign asking, you know, are you a sexual predator? Like Ruth makes the point, I think this sounds like an awful thing, but as women we absorb so much that we've just gotten so used to taking the hit for it, it seems, though. But maybe it's time to share out that burden. Like, maybe it's a sign about what you do if you know somebody or see somebody that's, you know, making commentary or, I suppose, bad types of comment, inappropriate language, Nolene.
If it says something like, you know, don't be thick, be right or something. And I do know that the programmes that Sean and Move do and the We Consent programmes from the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre and several others are doing that piece of work. But here's the thing, Andrea, it is not mainstreamed in our education system yet. And that's really, really important. We are seeing where in our third level schools, there was actually a huge move over the last few years to make consensual behaviour, respectful behaviour more prominent. Yeah, but as Madeline was saying, like 8, 9, 10, they're getting, kids are getting bad information. They're more likely to look to the internet than they are to their parents for information around this. So we have to mainstream through schools. Yeah.
I see a text here from a listener who says, in Spain they report violence on women. It's actually in the main news. And they would also report the monthly stats as well, in terms of violence against women. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. That's Nolene Blackwell, human rights lawyer, Dr. Michelle Walsh, Sean Cook and Madeline McAleer as well. Thanks a million for your time on the programme.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.
Today we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, I like it.
So you saying hip hop could be hop hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.